That guest preacher guy flipped the mute switch. Never trust the guest preacher. Anyway, table talk. Tomorrow night, Thirsty Barrel, 6 o'clock, Yuba Dip is back. Come and join us for that. October 19, which is, 2 weeks away? Just shy of 2 weeks away. Women's Retreat at Holy Cross in Rockland. And we need a few more of y'all to sign up and join us for that. It's going to be a great day, a great opportunity to hear some uplifting and wonderful words from a great author. So come down there for that. Join us. It'll be a great day. NMC. What is NMC? New members, I think. Next Sunday, we welcome a bunch of new members, and we'll have a luncheon after Bible class for that as well. With those notes, let's join in the opening hymn. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. If there's one thing that you can relate to in Jesus' words today, it's the idea of scandal. Sometimes it's translated as temptation, sometimes stumbling block, but the word at root is scandal, skandalon. A scandal is something that you can become obsessed with. It's usually a sin, but it doesn't have to be. So the impeachment of the president, it's a scandal. Dallas police officer being forgiven and hugged by the brother of the man she murdered is a scandal. Wealthy people buying admission into college for their children is a scandal. And those are just some of the latest. But scandals always have the possibility of tripping you up, especially if you get obsessed by them. And there's always the urge with a scandal that you hope that your enemy gets tripped up in one. Because if only my guy or my gal can steer clear of any scandals, then everything's going to be fine. And so it is that you rejoice when the bad guy or the bad girl gets caught. The video that shouldn't exist. The email that everyone thought was deleted. The tweet that twittered around the world. Proof, finally, that so-and-so isn't the angel he was made out to be, and he's gonna get his what he did. It's no accident, then, that Jesus talks about the danger of causing one of his little ones to stumble. And then in the very next verses, warns the disciples about the need for repentance and forgiveness. Because there are, you see, two kinds of stumbling blocks in Luke's gospel. Two kinds of scandal. There's the temptation to sin, like we have here. And then there's Jesus himself. A little earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "Blessed is he who is not scandalized by me." And St. Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles." So what does all of that have to do with scandal and forgiveness? Well, your sin and failings may cause another Christian to stumble in his faith. It can draw both you and he down the path to the evil one. And the more public that sin is, the worse it can get for the both of you. And this is what makes something a scandal. Everybody looks. Everybody wants to look because we all, deep down, we all love the idea of somebody else falling, even if it means in the end that we go with them. So what's the way out of this scandal? What's the way out of this sin-infested world? Is the answer to keep yourself free from all sin? It's a great idea. If only you could do it. But you can't keep yourself free from sin, can you? You're infected, and this infection kills every single time. So the answer, quite simply, as Jesus says, is forgiveness. And that's why he said to his disciples, "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." Pay attention, Jesus says. Sin is all around, both your sin and the sin of others. And so the way out of a scandal is through it. Forgiveness recognizes sin for what it is, that it's a break away from God's intentions for you. So forgiveness doesn't wink at sin. Forgiveness takes sin very seriously. What forgiveness says is that your relationship to this person is more important than the scandal, than the temptation, than any stumbling block could ever be. And how do you know this? You know this because that is precisely what Jesus does for you in his own death on his cross. When he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus forgives you even when he is bearing to his grave the consequences of your sin against him. But why does he do this? He does this because Christ Jesus loves you more than any sin you could ever commit. And because of that great and wondrous and superabundant love, he forgives you. Not once, not twice, but every single time you sin, he forgives you. Because you are more important to him than life itself. And this is the scandal of the cross of Christ. The scandal of Christ's cross is that God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness knows no bounds. It means that God the Father knows your sin and your sorrow. He knows what has caused you to stumble, and he will not be turned away from his relationship with you. I just finished a book about an American Army chaplain ministering to the monsters at Nuremberg, the highest of the Nazi war criminals. Did they deserve such mercy? God does not exact revenge upon you because of your failures, because of your shortcomings. God forgives you for Jesus' sake. God washes you in holy water. God feeds you with the very bread of life and forgiveness, his own son's body and blood. So this in turn frees you to forgive your neighbor, your spouse, your children, your parents. It frees you to forgive your friends and your enemies. Whomever they may be, God has forgiven you so that you in turn may forgive them. So don't let the scandal of sin turn into a wedge between you and those around you. Forgive, for Christ has forgiven you. So what is going to happen because of that? It's hard to say. Because no one expects forgiveness. We all expect a scandal and the fallout. We all expect an eye for an eye. But when you forgive, you may find that you are changed by it as much as the one that you've forgiven. So can you imagine a life without revenge? A life without retribution? This is the life that Almighty God brings to you in the crucified and risen Christ. So live this new life in the world and forgive. For you too are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.